relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
We have two examples that we have talked about and want to talk about today. One is the death of Rosemary Hartle in 2017. The other is the death of Fred Stokes Jr. in 2017. Miraculously, they both voted, which means that the voter file that was used to send out these mail-in ballots was not deduped by death records. We know that underage voters voted in this most recent election. How difficult would it have been to make it clear that nobody would have been mailed a ballot if they had a birth date after a certain year? We know that in this area, which has been gripped with the idea of an economic shutdown, that over 100,000 people left. Yet, through our due diligence, we've been able to find that at least 9,000 of them voted in this election. Non-Nevadans voting in Nevada. How?
9,000 non-Nevadans voting in the general election in Nevada. Dead people voting. People underage voting as well. That was Matt Schlapp of the American Conservative Union. This is a very, very special live edition of America First, live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook. The last time we did this, we had 250,000 views the first hour. Why? Because of the guest, because of the topic. He is the former CEO of the Trump 2016 campaign, host of War Room Pandemic, and the man that turned Breitbart into a giant, Steve Bannon. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Seb.
So just moments ago, as we broadcast this, it is now 1:03 Eastern time on Monday after the election. The president, according to the New York Post, will be holding rallies across the nation to push back on voter fraud. Your initial reactions to the events of just the last 6 days in America?
Well, just think, 71 million Americans voted legally for Donald J. Trump to be president. I think it's incumbent upon Joe Biden, his campaign, if he wants to bring the country together, he wants to represent the quote-unquote soul of America. His campaign has to get very active in getting to the bottom of this mass cheating, mass fraud, this illegal voting off the mail-in ballots, whether it's dead voting in Pennsylvania or 9,000 votes of non-residents in the Nevada. You've got all across these battleground states, and you're seeing the lawsuits now go in from Rudy Giuliani and the campaign. Michigan will be tomorrow. Pennsylvania will be this afternoon. They're going to really disqualify all of these mail-in ballots that were not specifically supervised. Remember, if you can't verify it, if it doesn't have chain of custody, right, it's not legal. And the secretaries of state are not going to be able to certify these. CNN and the Associated Press and Decision Desk HQ and all that, they have absolutely no standing. Fox News has no standing in this at all. They have an opinion, just like Steve Bannon has an opinion and Seb Gorka has an opinion and all the people in the country have an opinion. This is a legal process, and it has to be certified. And I think what the president's doing right now is very smart, this campaign, representing the Constitution, representing the American people, and making sure we just have to get to the bottom of what our counting all legal votes, counting all legal ballots. We must count the legal ballots. We must not include any illegal ballots. I think the president's what he's doing smart. I think I wouldn't even call him rallies. What I would say, he's going around to interested parties to give them an in-person update on what's going on. I hope he reads the obituaries of the dead. I hope he starts talking and naming names of who illegally voted in states and start individually calling people out and starting to have criminal referrals over to his Justice Department, which is absent right now. I don't see Barr. I see him down looking at poll watchers in the Justice Department, civil rights divisions everywhere looking at poll watchers. I don't see any action on criminal referrals right now. So I think the Justice Department has been a disgrace in this so far. I think they got a man up, and I couldn't be more enthusiastic about President Trump going out to the hustings to really take this case to the American people. As importantly, Seb, I think he has to start governing. He won on November 3rd. At the end of the day, he's going to close on this. He's going to be inaugurated on the 20th of January, 2021. He gets an extra bonus 80 days of his second term. Let's make use of it. Let's have Peter Navarro out there, doing more executive orders on manufacturing. Let's start cleaning house. Let's fire Ray. Let's fire Esper.
Let's just stop there, because we are doing this live, and he has just done that. The announcement has been made. The Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, has been fired by the president, and he's being replaced by Acting Secretary Christopher C. Miller, who is the director of the NCTC, the National Counterterrorism Center. So, Steve, it looks as if on at least national security, the president is governing as well as fighting that fight, a decision which I think you'll agree with me is long overdue with regards to that member of the cabinet.
I've called for Esper to be fired for 3 weeks. I've called for Ray to be fired for 4 weeks. I've called for Fauci to be fired. I'm banned from Twitter and taken down on YouTube because I called for the firing of FBI Director Ray in the beginning of the process of firing Collins and Fauci over NIH. These people, you got to clear in house right now. He's going to start his second term officially on the 20th of January. What he needs to do, he gets an extra bonus 80 days. Take advantage of the 80 days. He should be cleaning house right now in the national security and intelligence apparatus immediately.
So what got you? We have to talk about the election, but because people are going to say, oh, my gosh, I'm watching Steve Bannon again on Gawker's channel. Where's his channel? Why were you banned on social media in the last couple of days? What did you do exactly, and why did it get you banned?
What we did is we talked about St. Thomas More. I think it was on Wednesday, St. Thomas More, and we talked about, going about and doing these things within the context of the rule of law or outside the context of rule of law.
And heads on pikes as an analogy.
That was the first day that we talked about the trial and what he said about you've got to keep all the laws in England because the devil will turn on you if you cut down all the laws to chase the devil. One of the most powerful parts of Man for All Seasons. And I think I commented at the time that St. Thomas More, was beheaded and his head was put on a pike on London Bridge, I think it was the Tower of London, to warn people. So the next day I talked about Ray and talked about Fauci and how they should be fired. And in a figurative speech said, put heads on pikes, right?
And got you banned.
Yes. Kathy Griffin has the head of Donald Trump up, and she's still up on Twitter. Look, here's why they took it down. They don't want the facts put out there. It's fine. Ever since they took us down, the show just gets bigger and bigger. YouTube took us down. The show gets bigger and bigger. So remember, they can try to suppress the information all they want. The more they try to suppress it, the more people want access. Why is this so dangerous? And I think that they're saying that we're giving them detailed analytics about what happened on the campaign. Remember, the progressive left and CNN rubs our nose in data, science, and evidence every day. You got to look at the data. You got to look at the science. You got to look at the evidence. That's all we're trying to do here. We're trying to look at the data. We're trying to look at the evidence. We're trying to look at the political science and get to the bottom of this. And it stinks to high heaven. They're afraid of it. Let's go back to what happened this weekend. On Friday night, the president had a huge win at the Supreme Court with Justice Alito that froze the Secretary of State of Pennsylvania in place.
Functioning, let's be clear here. People have to understand what Alito did. He did in his function as a circuit court judge. So this isn't a Supreme Court victory. He's still dual-headed as a circuit court judge. And he said, guys, what's going on in Pennsylvania has to stop. It's a big success, but it's not the Supreme Court. Just wanted to add that.
Yes, but he's a Supreme Court justice. And he knows that neck of the woods and how they cheat all the time. He froze the Secretary of State in place, right, about how these ballots got to be kept separated. It's one of the foundational elements of the suits they're putting today with Rudy and the team. But he froze her in place. So she was frozen in place and really accused of lying, right, about how these ballots have been mingled. Then on a Saturday morning, at 9 o'clock in Maricopa County, outside election headquarters or the count, they put out the new numbers for Arizona. Trump cut the lead by 9,000, by one third.
Yes.
Right. And it looks like it's going our way. Also, at the same time, Rudy and Corey Lewandowski are stepping up in Philadelphia. Right. At this press conference, it was a little thrown together at the last second, but the content of the press conference scared the left. So with no new changes out of Pennsylvania, CNN jumped because they knew Fox was not going to call this. They jumped out to Bigfoot the News from Alito, to Bigfoot the News from Arizona, to Bigfoot the News from Corey and from Rudy, because they understood all the rest of Saturday, given Biden's disastrous play on Friday night, that would be dominant by Trump news. They knew more good news was going to come out of Arizona, that the chaos in Georgia was only going to play to Trump's hands, that Trump is getting ready to file serious lawsuits across the board to invalidate the mail-in ballots in Michigan and in Pennsylvania. They had to kill that. And what'd they do? They just called it. Remember, they have no standing at all. They knew they could get the whole media tsunami and also all the quisling Republicans that could sit there like Chris Christie and others try to tell the president to step down. So it's not going to work. But this is the information warfare you're seeing right now.
So let me tell you what I've advised the president. I spoke to one of the most senior members of his administration yesterday. I put a call in into the White House. You are the former chief strategist in the White House where we worked together. You're the former CEO of the campaign that took that campaign from down 16 points against Hillary to victory 4 years ago. We haven't rehearsed this. I'm just going to tell you what I've told the White House, because I don't think we need secrets. We need balls. We need to lean forward and we need to get busy. As far as I'm concerned, the president has to create an election integrity task force or commission. It has to be meeting every single day. COVID, we're dealing with COVID. We need daily briefings from the vice president of the concrete felonies committed. We need the names. I love your idea. Read out the obituaries. We need the names of dead people who have voted. We need the names of, we need the numbers of, you know, 9,000 people in Nevada who not from Nevada have voted. We need the concrete report every day. And then the other half of this, and you just mentioned information warfare, has to be an incredibly robust communications team. And I mean only the real MAGA guys and gals. I want to see Ambassador Rick Grenell. I want to see Jim Jordan, Matt Gaetz. I'll take time off the radio. I'll do it. I want to see Charlie Kirk, Candace Owens, Don Jr. And I want to see them just flood the zone, flood the media airwaves with the pushback. And I think you're right. We can get them on their heels very, very quickly, because we know that these districts committed crimes. That's my advice to the president. It's not brain surgery. It's not rocket science. But I think if that is done and we lean in for the next 37 days, it is possible.
Here's, Seb, it's absolutely brilliant. This is why you're my deputy in the White House, the deputy strategist. You absolutely have nailed it. Here's what we know. Here's what the tell is. It doesn't. Their case is so weak, they don't want to actually make the case on TV. They were so afraid they had to Bigfoot this with this phony announcement on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock and then get all the horns honking and everything like that. They don't really have any substance in back of that. They can't withstand an onslaught of going through and looking at what the evidence is. If Joe Biden was serious about bringing the country together, if Joe Biden was serious about trying to restore America's soul, he would actually make his campaigns the co-sponsors of these lawsuits. He would become a plaintiff. He would help. For his legitimacy and legality, he needs to show the American people that these massive statistical anomalies are actually correct, that people actually did vote, that the dead didn't vote, that all these ballots, the 450,000 votes that Sidney Powell keeps referring to, the battleground states, that they actually were real votes. Joe Biden owes that to the American people. But you see that he's such a cipher. Right. You don't really see, and I can see it here in D.C. and other places, there's not really a big push or celebration for Biden. It's still Orange Man bad. Right.
It's yes. It's not about Joe. It's about the end of Trump. Right. Which is so telling. So telling.
So telling. By the way, I love, and I think for your audience, you have to understand this is a very serious proposal, I think, that Seb has put forward. You need the killers right now. You need those people that are not going to back down. You need the Grinnells. You need the Candace Owens. You need the Charlie Kirks. You need the Matt Gaetzes. You need people that come with facts and details and don't wilt under fire.
Right.
Okay. There's a lot of people there, and I'm not blaming these people. There are a lot of people around the president. They're getting their resumes ready for whatever reason. That's fine. But I can tell you, I've talked to very serious lawyers. We have a definite, a path to victory here. to secure the victory that he won on November 3rd. President Trump, the only priority here he should have is closing on the victory that the 71 million legal votes that took place on November 3rd delivered. That's the will of the people. President Trump has a constitutional responsibility, a responsibility to the 13 or 14 generations that came before us to honor that Constitution and to only let legal votes count.
Now, I'm not here to hide anything, okay? You know me. You know, I'm MAGA from the get-go. I'm not here to dissemble or to rah-rah when there's nothing to rah-rah about. So here's the bad news, Steve, and I'm sure you are well aware of this. I'm not going to give the name because I like him. He is a good guy and total MAGA. One of the most senior people in the GOP, and I mean one of the most senior, calls me yesterday and calls me today. And when he calls me yesterday, he says, "How's it going?" And I go, "Hey, buddy, what do you mean, how's it going? You run the GOP. Why are you asking me how it's going? Steve, we just read the list of the MAGA killers. Do we have enough of a bench to get this
Look,
done?"
There's horses for courses. There's time. You know, certain people are built for political warfare.
Yeah.
And that's where we're in right now. This is, you've seen the information warfare is thrown against us. Not everybody's built for this. Not everybody has the internal constitution for this. That's fine.
But we need but a machine. There has to be a machine, Steve.
There has to be a machine. But by the way, we've got enough at the campaign. There's enough at the RNC to do this. And plus, we've got the muscle. I hate to go back and put it on his shoulders again, but let's go back and put it on his shoulders again. Donald J. Trump. When I say he's the greatest closer in American history, he is the greatest. Right. He's the greatest closer. This is all about, you won the deal. Let's close the deal.
But was right? the tone of his first speech the right tone?
No, it was not. But listen, what I said earlier, and I think I told you, he needed to go up, and I said it on the show that morning, he needed to go up between a random number, between 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock that night, 10:45 being perfect. Let's go back in time, 10:45. He had just won Ohio and Florida. Florida with 45%, 47% of the Hispanic vote, historic participation by African-Americans and 12% of African-American males. He was winning Iowa by a huge number. He was up by 800,000 votes in Pennsylvania, winning massive margins in Michigan and in Wisconsin. And huge in Georgia and big in North Carolina. That was the time to get up before the 11 o'clock news and tell the nation, "I just won a sweeping landslide. It's all MAGA all the time. We're going to take back House seats. I'm holding the Senate, and Bob's your uncle, right? We're going to secure this." Then I would have gone to court immediately asked for injunctions to stop any funky counting. For whatever reason, that didn't happen. The thing at 2:30 in the morning I thought was wrong. You let Biden go first. You didn't set the narrative. Be that as it may, we have the facts, and here are the facts. He won a massive victory on November 3rd. We know that there's massive fraud, and that's why Biden and these guys want to kick the can down the road. The guys who wanted to take, remember, MSNBC had election season. They said the whole month of November were going to count. Now they want to hurry up and get it done as quickly as possible. Why? They want to hide their crime, okay? And this is what we got exposed. The DOJ should be involved there also. People backdating, people voting for the dead. All these names should be identified. The president of the United States is going to go around the country, and I'm going to tell you, the CNBC, CNN and MSNBC are going to melt down when he does this. The president needs to go out to the American people, make his case. As importantly, he should start Mark Meadows, Peter Navarro, Lighthizer. The team at the White House should immediately begin the second term administration. I think the firing of Esper, which I've called for a week, is a great way to kick off the second term. Let's fire some guys, clean some house, and get ready on the afternoon of the 20th of January. We're ready to roll with the right team.
Two responses. Number one, I had dinner with somebody who 3 years ago told me he'd worked with Barr at the highest level of the DOJ. Trust him. He's the honey badger. He'll get things done. Yesterday, I invited this man to dinner with his wife to say, "Has Barr failed us? Has your friend failed you?" And when he said yes, I'm prepared to say now in public on my radio show today, Barr has failed America. I don't care what the DOJ does now, Steve, because the DOJ has made itself irrelevant. It's got to be the president. It's got to be the MAGA killers. It's got to be his lawyers. And here's the next part. You call them the hobbits, and you don't mean that derisively. You mean it in the sense of J.R.R. Tolkien's original concept that the inhabitants of the Shire were the people who won World War I. They were the Tommies next to him in the trenches, and that's who he built that whole Middle Earth world around. When people tell me, I can't tell you how many hours I've spent on DMs and messages and you name it, responding to our millions of listeners and viewers. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Very simple. And I've had people actually tell me they're going to do it. I say, get your ass out of the house. Put that red MAGA hat on and protest. I don't care where you are. You don't need to be in Philly. Get out there and scream and shout and show your support. The 71 million people have to. If there's ever been a time to get onto the streets, it's now. And people are now organically organizing themselves across the country. How significant is it, Steve Bannon, that after four years of being called first a misogynist, a racist, a xenophobe, an Islamophobe, a white supremacist, and an agent of Vladimir Putin, 4 million more Americans voted for Donald Trump this year than they did 4 years ago.
No, it's unbelievable. You know, you look at the 71 million. This election, even the mainstream media can't spin it as a repudiation of either Trump or Trumpism. Trumpism gains momentum every day, and you see people ready for this fight. I would actually tell your viewers, number one, push out content from shows like this, shows like ours and others. Yes. Go to the killer, the Candace Owens, the Charlie Kirks. Here's what you can do right now. Be part of the phalanx in the information war, okay? This is information warfare. It's a psyops move. What you have to do is become a soldier in that. The way you do it is you start absorbing these different sites, start to get the information. We need to knit together the 71 million that did vote. We have to knit them together in one strong column, right? The way you do that is people will start coming out, start connecting by pushing out every piece of social content you can, number one, the content. Number two is also where you see anything, crowdsource the violations. You see it, yes, and push it to the websites up there. Push it to the campaign website. Michael Patrick Leahy and the guys have a website up. There's a half a dozen of these websites. Push it there. You're going to have to do some work. Clearly get out on the streets and protest. But in addition, you should be lighting up your Republican officials.
Yes.
And what I mean, if you're in a battleground state right now, you should be lighting up the people in the House of Delegates and the state Senate. This is going to come down to, remember, are you going to reverse all these with recounts? That's not the focus. The focus is to delegitimize this and decertify this in the mail-in ballots because they're illegal. Many of the ones that be certified have to count. The ones that don't have chain of custody and can't be certified do not count.
But when they're commingled, as we've seen in Philadelphia or elsewhere, then the whole election has to be redone, no?
Not redone. It's just not certified. Remember, we have a process. The Constitution's
But when they're commingled with ones that arrived within the constitutional order and you can't differentiate the good from the bad, how do you know which one to throw out, Steve?
You just got to decertify all of them. That's the problem. That's what the Secretary of State. Well, it's not a do-over. We don't need another vote. We had a vote. Trump won that vote because his votes came in on November 3rd and they count.
So void all of them if they've been commingled.
This is what the argument that Rudy and these guys are making right now. They all got to get thrown out, and they're going to get more and more discovery. You're going to see what these anomalies are about the Biden votes. Right. And the ones that came in by mail, they're only Biden votes with nobody else.
This is the latest. So this is the latest that we have reports of batches of thousands and thousands of ballots where the only mark on the ballot was for Biden, as if the person in the booth couldn't care less about the local proposition, the new tax hike and the local rep. The only thing that they filled in was Joe Biden. Now, what do we do with those? What do we do with those, Steve?
Those got to be looked at. If they can have a chain of custody and they came from a real voter and they're on the double envelope in Pennsylvania, they should and must count. If they can't, if there's no chain of title, no chain of custody, and they can't be verified, they got to go. Remember, this is all about the Secretary of State.
Yes.
CNN and people don't have any standing here. Who has standing is a Secretary of State that has to certify the vote by a date certain. That date is December 6th. Okay. If they can't, the assembly, the General Assembly in Pennsylvania has to get involved. Okay. And that's Republican controlled. Remember, they're Republican controlled in most of these battleground states. They're going to become, this is what Mark Levin keeps talking about, what an important role they play. That now, if they can't certify it and put forward a slate of electors, right, for the real vote, in this case, it would be for Donald Trump, that's fine. It's not the end of the world. If the Electoral College doesn't meet on the 14th in the state capitals, in the 50 state capitals, with electors, it just, you can't have the Electoral College. It gets kicked in what's called a contingent election into the House of Representatives in January. And Donald J. Trump, there, it's not by individual congressmen. It's by
state.
It's by party delegation.
Right.
Of the states. The Republicans control 28. The Democrats control 22. Nancy Pelosi, with her big, huge gavel, has to gavel it in, have a vote, and Donald J. Trump will be elected.
Nobody talks about this. Nobody. We did it last time, and we blew YouTube records. Let's walk through this again, because this is absolutely crucial. I was on Indian television this morning. Great show, great host, conservative guy, and he kept talking about Biden has won and he's president-elect. And I said, I like your show and I like you too, but let's be clear. You don't even have a president-elect until the Electoral College chooses the president-elect. We have no president-elect. We have a president and we have a contested election. And he said, well, thank you very much, because we don't know that here in India. We have all over the American media. We have... Condoleezza Rice tweeted yesterday, and I very politely quote-tweeted her, congratulations to President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. And I don't like doing this, but I had to school the former provost of Stanford, whose PhD is in political science, that we do not have a President-elect until the Electoral College. It just does not exist. There is no President-elect. Talk us through the current system. What is the threshold for failure of the Electoral College? How many states have to fail in certification for it to go to the House of Representatives on a party-by-state delegation to elect the president?
Well, it's simple. If no one gets the 270 electoral votes.
Bingo.
If anybody gets the 270 electoral votes, done. Then you come for a ceremonial... should be ceremony. We had a couple of faithless electors last time. That, I think most of that's been sorted out. But they come for a ceremonial on January 6th, after the new Congress is set. So here's the process, the critical path. Between now and December 6th, the secretaries of state and the governors in these states have to certify the vote. Okay. Once the vote's certified, a slate of electors for whoever won that vote, right, which is 50% plus one vote, that slate of electors will go to the state capitol on the 14th. You have a safe harbor essentially on the 8th of December. That means if it's not done on the 8th, it's got to be done by the 8th, because they need about 6 days to get kind of organized. If it's not done by December 8th, the electors are not going to meet in the state capitol. You have not gotten to the threshold of 270 electoral votes. And right now in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, right, in Arizona, in Georgia, this is all up in the air. So, and that's all got to be certified. You have areas right now that are talking about a hand ballot recount in Maricopa County. They're talking about maybe doing a hand ballot recount in Fulton County.
Yes.
In addition, they're going to do a recount in the whole state. We know that every time you get into these things, you start peeling off Biden votes. In addition, the lawsuit's key is to throw out the mail-in ballots, or to throw out every mail-in ballot that can't be certified.
Right.
All we're talking about is the certification election. What people should maniacally focus on here is the certification of the election. If you can't certify the vote, you can't then have electors. If you don't get electors of 270 to get to the Electoral College, guess what? The framers and after 1876 have a solution. Everybody take a deep breath. It goes to the House of Representatives. The reason you don't have any talk about this right now, and they want to Bigfoot by having the media call it on Saturday, they understand they lose in the House. Okay? So it goes to the House,
and it goes by party delegation per state, which is 28 Republican to 28 Democrat, which means, theoretically, Steve, the president should be a shoo-in, correct?
Absolutely. This is why they don't want to talk about it, right? And they're going to have a further meltdown because they say, oh, he won the popular vote. He won the vote in the states. Well, he only won the uncertifiable ballots. That's why these have to be certified. If it gets to be a mess at the Secretary of State and the state general assemblies, hey, it is what it is. These have to be certified. And these lawsuits right now, and that's why everybody should be focused on the certification of these ballots and how this was stolen by these phony mail-in ballots. And that's why the president's purely within his rights. He's basically protecting the Constitution. He must protect it. And Lindsey Graham is saying, oh, we have to have hearings for future elections. No. We're going to have it for this election. You can talk about further elections is the equivalent of Lindsey Graham having hearings about, you know, Dunham or Durham not doing his job that's a misdirection play. We're talking about right here and right now. We don't want to hear about future. We're going to sort it out now. And sorting it out now, we will respect the 13 or 14 generations that came before us. We will clean it up for the future, but we're going to address it right here and right now. This is not for the future. Anybody that says for the future, this is just a phony spin to get you to surrender. And if the 71 million MAGA voters do not surrender, it is impossible for this illegitimate, illegal regime of Biden to actually grab power. And that's what you got to stop right now. And I don't care if Facebook or YouTube or any of these guys don't like it. This is a legal process. We're going to go into the courts. And right now they hate that. That's why they want to mock and ridicule Rudy Giuliani. That's why the defeatists at the campaign and in the White House are leaking, oh, these guys are crazy. Well, look, you were the same people that said we were crazy in 16, okay? Right. You're the same people that said that Trump, it was all crazy that Trump would get to 70 million votes. He got 71 million votes or close to 71 million votes. Those people have his back. The president's going to go on the road this week and start to make this case. I just really recommend that Esper's firing is the first of literally dozens that take place right now.
Yep, we can talk about who needs to go and who needs to replace him. We're talking to the host of War Room Pandemic. You can follow Steve Bannon on Parler at War Room Pandemic, former CEO of the Trump 2016 campaign, former naval officer, Goldman Sachs, quite the Renaissance man when it comes to his career path. And he is now with me here on America First. If you want to know more, we have 3 hours of show. Every day, 3 to 6, live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook. You can get the app, look for America First, me, Sebastian Gorka, and subscribe right now to this channel. Hit the notifications bell twice, and you will never miss a thing. America First, Sebastian Gorka on YouTube. Steve, you are a big picture guy, a strategy guy, a national security guy. You serve this nation. I don't want to forget important things. Let's play a little audio cut that I think you'll want to discuss in a new context. Shad, play cut.
Thousands and thousands of West Germans come to make the point that the wall has suddenly become irrelevant, something, as you can see, almost a party on. How do you measure such an astonishing moment in history?
31 years ago today. 31 years ago today, we won the Cold War. That was
31 years ago today, we won the Cold War. And Seb, don't forget, 4 years ago today is when Trump won in 2016. It was 2:30 a.m. in the morning on November 9th. So we got 4 years ago for MAGA and 31 years ago for taking down the Berlin Wall.
Thank you kindly. I bring that out because as a child of the Cold War, as a kid who grew up under Margaret Thatcher, looked across the ocean at Ronald Reagan, I cannot but mention the anniversary today. I would not be alive if it weren't for my father escaping a communist prison in the Hungarian Revolution of 1956. We don't have time. We can do a separate podcast on that, on whether or not we really won the Cold War. But as far as conventional wisdom is concerned, 31 years ago today, the captive people of the captive nation of East Germany with hand tools started to take down the wall that was designed to keep them in. And the Berlin Wall was breached on that glorious, chilly but glorious November night. The threat today is China extrinsically. We understand that. You opened my eyes to that. It's the only truly strategic threat we face. But when it comes to socialism and communism, Steve, The threat's now domestic, is it not? We have AOC, we have Jennifer Rubin saying it's time to make lists of Trump supporters. So how much has changed and how little has changed in the last 31 years, Steve?
Well, listen, at the time we felt that that was the end of really the what started in August of 1914 all the way to 1989. I think history will look at that as a continual war in Europe that spread throughout the entire world. Remember, it's the American people and particularly the deplorables that ended, that were the muscle that freed the world. Right. And you made a great statement about Tolkien and The Hobbit. Those shires were the heartland of England. Those are the deplorables of England at the time.
Yes.
Those men and women that went into the trenches, and the women that backed them up, that basically with the Allies, with the United States, delivered the victory in World War One. Then we came back and did it in World War Two, and eventually really finished World War Two in the late 1980s with Ronald Reagan, very focused on, you know, let's take down the evil empire. They win, or we win and they lose.
Yeah.
Very simple. We now realize that we haven't finished the work of the 20th century. We allowed communism, really particularly cultural Marxism, to continue to exist, whether it's the Frankfurt School or what you see in the Chinese Communist Party. And that's what's going on today. You mentioned the list. That's exactly what the Cultural Revolution was. It's exactly what the French Revolution is. Remember, and by the way, AOC's comments and Jennifer Rubin's comments, they've scared people. I know people that don't want to come forward that are very concerned about their ability to make a living if they are out front right now defending President Trump and actually trying to close on his victory. And look, people have to make their own calculations. You know, some people have different philosophies of life. Other people understand that their livelihood may be in jeopardy. But that's what's going on here. That's part of the psychological warfare. That's part of the information warfare. These are very blunt instruments. The reason they're trying to take down the President of the United States and others on social media is they don't want the truth to come out. If they were confident they had a counter to this, they would want it out there. They would want all our stuff out there, because then they could make us look like idiots. They can't. They don't want to address data. They don't want to address evidence. They don't want to really address political science. They say they're the ones that want to focus on science. They don't. That's why, Seb, your show and what I call the killers, the Candace Owens, the Charlie Kirkses, the Matt Gaetzes, the Rick Grinnells, the people that have no back down in their DNA, right, are the ones that need to come to the front now. They need to be the Praetorian Guard that closes this deal, closes this victory for the president.
Well, that's what I've advised him to do, and we shall find out very, very soon if he takes that advice. Steve, let's talk about the role of...
Oh, Seb, I think you underplay what the president thinks of you and people around him that love him think of you. I think he did take that advice. He's in for the fight.
My issue is, Steve, and you know as well as I do, that inside the building there's three guys left who came in with us. Three guys. Okay? It's a lot of young guys and kids and whatever, but when it comes to people who understand MAGA, who understand why a non-politician, a non-retired military officer was elected president for the first time in our republic's history 4 years ago, very few people in the building get it. But the president... I trust him, as do you. Let's talk about the role of the media. We now know that the decision desk at Fox is run by a hardcore Democrat, a guy who's raised money and donated to Democrats. Talk to us a little bit about the state of the media, not the mainstream fake news industrial complex, as one of our friends inside the White House coined it. What has happened to Fox News, Steve Bannon?
Well, I think Fox, people are going to have to make their own judgment. You know, Roger Ailes is gone. Clearly, Lachlan Murdoch, you saw Murdoch's wife, was high-fiving. But that's a corporate decision. I think they just have to deal with it. They made a decision on the calling of the issue in Arizona. It looks like it's going the other way now. I mean, now it's 17,000 votes. I'm hearing from people inside the building there. This is going to be extremely close. One of the reasons you haven't heard about Arizona rapidly doing this is a simple fact that's good news for Trump, right, coming out of Maricopa County. So it's I think they have to deal with it. I think overall, though, it's more important that CNN, MSNBC, The New York Times, these are part of the information warfare apparatus of the globalists. This is all party at Davos. It's all tied into to the city of London, to Wall Street.
Global reset.
Global reset. And look, they want the champagne corks are popping in Beijing, New York City, and London for one reason. the part they think in their eye that if they can push back the MAGA movement at all, which is a global political movement
from India to the UK.
Right. Absolutely. And by the way, in China, the diaspora of China, the reason our show is so massive is we are in real time translated into Mandarin for the diaspora of the Chinese that have left. And also it blows through the firewall. The Lao Beijing, old hundred names, the hobbits of China are united with us. They want freedom and they understand it's a murderous dictatorship that rules their country today. That is what they want, the reset to go back to being in business. The elites want to be back in business with the Chinese Communist Party. They understand President Trump took the initial effort to basically take down the Chinese Communist Party. This is what this fight's all about. This is nationalism versus globalism, right? And this is what this fight is. And that's why people can't back off. And here's the beauty of it. The 71 million people that voted for President Trump knew exactly what they were getting, right? And I think that's why the media is so shocked. And they've tripled down on the information warfare. But I'll be honest with you, I don't think it's getting traction. Joe Biden's kind of a cipher, right? They realize he's wandering around in car. I think they were very freaked out Friday night of how bizarre that looked. And they knew they had a problem. They had Alito's ruling. They had better news coming out of Maricopa County. They had Rudy and the team coming forward with lawsuits that were going to be broader in scope to go after the disqualification of these mail-in ballots. They needed to Bigfoot this. And they need to get Biden back up on the stage as president-elect. That's why CNN moved in here. So I do think to Fox's credit, I think Fox put the word out they weren't going to call this first, which I think they were under a lot of pressure to do. So look, I think people got a weigh and measure. I've got a lot of friends over Fox. A lot of the people in the nighttime opinion group are terrific people. I think people just got a weigh and measure how they do it. But that doesn't, the Seb Gorkas and the Steve Bannons and this crowd, we're not backing off an inch on this. We know he won. We know it's important for the nation. It's important for the Constitution. It's important for us as a republic. And it's important for the world for this to close and close rightly, close correctly with legal votes counting. Yeah. And Joe Biden should be President Trump's partner in this. The reason he's not in here is they don't want any deep dive discovery into Pennsylvania. They don't want deep dive discovery in Michigan. They don't want deep dive discovery down in Fulton County in Georgia.
Well, you surprised me with your response there. There are a few good people left there, so let's not get them in trouble at Fox News. We're talking to the host of War Room Pandemic. Follow him at Parler at War Room Pandemic. If you really want to educate yourself, guys, on how we got to where we are today, you've got to read Andrew Breitbart's autobiography, Righteous Indignation. If you want to understand what Steve's talking about the Long March, the Frankfurt School, read chapter three of my book, The War for America's Soul. This is just a one-hour interview with Steve. He's graciously agreed to do it third time in a row in the last couple of weeks, but you've got to educate yourselves. War Room Pandemic, Breitbart's Righteous Indignation, my book, The War for America's Soul, and you will see that there are no coincidences. Go ahead.
No, let me real quickly. That's so important to understand the Frankfurt School. It's important to understand the Cultural Revolution, the French Revolution. This is what you're facing right now. Right. That's the deep subtext underneath this, and that's the parties and units they're pulling together. You've got to understand. You've got to set the narrative frame here. That's the way to do it. Andrew's book, Seb's, the chapter in Seb, learn about the Frankfurt School, learn about cultural Marxism.
All right, last two questions. Firstly, what is your message to the president? And what is first your message to those, because it's 71 million Americans. They're not all the same. They're not all, they don't all have the, what did you call it? The total lack of a back down bone. To those who lack that back down bone, what is your message? What do they do in the coming days and weeks? And then lastly, what do you need the president to do that he's not doing right now, Steve?
I think very importantly, people saw in the last 3 weeks of this campaign, as President Trump went around, it's the beginning of a great awakening. That the campaign ran out of money, and what you saw was a self-organizing, basically revolt of working class and middle class people of every race, color, creed, sexual preference, all of it, from a 96-mile caravan in Tucson to 30,000 people protesting communism, Latinos and Hispanics protesting communism in South Florida. You saw an outpouring
of the DC. I was in the convoy, the DC Beltway, for 2.5 hours. Hundreds of vehicles in the swamp. I think you're right. I think it is a great awakening.
It's a great awakening. That's what we're at the very top of the second inning in the MAGA revolt. 71 million votes, and as much as they piled in with the deep state, with which I say it's an in-your-face state, with the information warfare, the mainstream media, with all the money in the world, they could not defeat Donald Trump and his movement. Okay, so number one, understand that you're involved in something bigger than yourself. You're involved in something that is a world historical event and will be talked about centuries from now. That is what this moment is. That's why Donald Trump has an, if you look at Mark Levin and all the constitutional guys, Donald Trump has an obligation,
yes,
a moral duty to defend the Constitution, to defend this republic. This is not about him. This is not even about the Trump movement. It's bigger than that. This is about a time in history of which working class and middle class people are standing up and said, you've got to play by the rules. I'm not going to allow you to play Smash Mouth. And here's the key thing. I'm not going to back down. You won that vote on November 3rd. The process is now engaged in the courts, in federal courts. The Secretary of State have to certify it. You should be on the phone emailing your representatives in state assemblies. You should be emailing your congressman, calling your congressman and your senator to say, hey, I want you in front of the mic. I want you in front of the sticks saying, I back Trump and all legal votes count. No illegal votes count. Every legal vote has to count. Not one illegal vote has to count. Okay, that's
and
the process.
And get out there and demonstrate, right, Steve?
I think you have to ride to the sound of the guns. What you have to do is when – this is all self-organizing. If you hear a caravan, you hear something to do, get out in the streets, be proud of it. You're in a historical moment, and you're winning. That's why they're so afraid of this. This week when the president goes out and goes around the country, they're going to have a full meltdown. You watch from the Mitt Romneys right to the Condoleezza Rices, what I call the ribbon clerks, the group that got us in this mess. Condi Rice should never show her face again. Okay, what she did as national security advisor to essentially bury this country, that the America First move has had to rewind. We don't need to hear from Dick Cheney. We don't need to hear from George Bush. We don't need to hear from Condi Rice. You had your time and you buried this nation. Donald Trump put it on his shoulders and it started to turn this around. We need to hear from Trump. And the only thing we need to hear from Trump is game on. Okay, we're not going to back down one inch. He won a massive victory in the third and now he's going to close in that victory. The only advice I would give President Trump is let your team execute, right? Let your team execute because the Constitution is not a self-executing document. Let them execute on the Constitution within the rules. You start to govern for your second term. Firing Esper is a great start. There's a whole bunch of other ones you ought to fire today and start getting people on an interim basis. Restock your White House, restock your cabinet with interim appointments and get on with it.
Just as a little piquant addition, right now live, Fox News is interviewing Cindy McCain. I can't think of a more perfect wrap-up to this discussion with Steve Bannon. Thank you so much for spending the time. We have been told that we have beaten all of our previous viewing records, and we're going to keep this up there. We're going to make cuts of this because it is about the Great Reawakening. Guys, you heard the man. Keep the heat on, especially on the GOP, on your representatives, on your senators. Get out there, get that red MAGA hat on, and most important of all, support this president. 71 million Americans. God bless you all. And thank you, Steve Bannon, at War Room Pandemic on Parler. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Seb. Appreciate it.